I'm James Milley.
And I'm Alex Muto.
And this is The Artist Business Plan,
your favorite weekly business podcast for artist entrepreneurs hosted by Superfine Art Fair.
Hi there. Thanks for joining The Artist Business Plan. This episode was recorded in 2023. Since then, Art Basel and Beyond has rebranded to Studio Casa, K-A-S-A. Please show Josh some support on Instagram at _StudioCasa_. That's _StudioKASA_.
What's going on, business artists? You are listening to The Artist Business Plan, and that means that you are certifiably awesome. My name is Alex Muto. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Superfine Art Fair. We're the most widespread art fair for independent artists in the United States. We're also one of the top resources for all the tips, tricks you need to jumpstart your art career. Today, we've got avid art enthusiast and creator of Art Basel and Beyond, Josh Casper, here with us on the mic. Josh is going to share how to get the most out of your studio and gallery visit. I can't wait to get started with this, but first, everybody, we have an offer here for you ABP listeners.
Artists, have you ever felt anxious, alone, and unsure about the next move in your career? Good news, those days are over!
Since 2015, we've spent thousands of hours developing the best art fair model for independent artists just like you who want to take control of your career, build your collector list, and make a real sustainable income from your art.
Superfine started with the connection between artists and an eager, empowered, qualified buying audience. So many alternatives didn't provide any real value for the artists who spent their precious time, hard-earned money, and major effort mounting and exhibiting their work without the results to back it up. And that meant that it was time for something new.
For 7 years, Superfine has focused on breaking down these barriers and creating sustainable economic opportunities for artists to build careers from our fair. To find your place at a Superfine fair, simply visit www.superfine.world/sell-your-art. Don't miss the chance to be part of the top business artist community in the world.
Oh, and when you mention The Artist Business Plan, you'll receive a $150 credit on your booth, no matter what size or city you choose.
So that's $150 off. Go online to www.superfine.world/sell-your-art to set up your qualification call with James and get started selling your art with Superfine today. Again, that's www.superfine.world/sell-your-art. All right, we are back here with Josh Casper on the mic. Josh is an art advocate and Connecticut native who worked in asset management at Goldman Sachs before escaping corporate America to pursue his passion in the arts. During 2020, he spent about 10 months posting different pictures of artworks on Instagram taken at galleries in Chelsea, New York, and at many art fairs around the country, including Art Basel and Art Miami in Miami. After a visit to Gallery 23 in New York and a conversation with a local artist, the seeds of this initiative, Art Basel and Beyond, were planted. In his interviews with artists, studio visits, and gallery and fair tours, Josh dives deep into the stories behind his dynamic guests from up-and-coming artists to seasoned professionals. Art Basel and Beyond aims to recreate the acclaimed art fair and enable people to build relationships with artists by understanding their mission and their technique, something we really get behind with Superfine, even though we are a much different art fair than Basel. We love that concept. Today, we're hoping to flip the script and learn about the man behind the podcast. Welcome to The Artist Business Plan, Josh.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I love the intro. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you. And thank you to Joshua on our production team for helping write that, because it was a very good intro. I agree. To help our listeners on ABP get to know you, could you talk about the last piece of art that you saw that really excited you, that like really got you going?
Absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to looking at different types of art, I'm a big mixed media guy. All right. So when I look at things, you know, an oil painting could be a phenomenal piece. But imagine an oil painting with resin, with castings, and all different types of media on it. It's things like that that really get me excited. So recently, I was doing an art consult with one of my clients, and we were looking at a piece by Roderick Hidalgo. It's a large spherical piece that is composed of resin and wood and a variety of other materials that I don't even know. It's hard to really describe the piece, but imagine taking the beach painting it all blue so that the sand's also blue, and putting it on your wall. It's pieces like that, pieces that are unique, different, that the average person wouldn't necessarily think to create, that get me excited. I like thought-provoking pieces that are a little bit taboo, sort of say.
I like that idea. Thought-provoking pieces that are taboo. That's very up my alley. I actually, funnily enough, I saw a – there's always this question of like art like that your mom would see when she comes over to your house. But I saw this piece posted on Instagram and it said, your mom didn't choose your partner, so why is she choosing your art? So I was like, okay, I like that.
So, I love that.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that, Josh. So let's dive in here. What are the biggest differences that you've experienced between conducting a studio visit with an artist and visiting a gallery?
Yeah. So, you know, the great thing about working with artists is that artists are really passionate about what they do. I've never spoken to an artist, and I've been doing this for years now. I've never spoken to an artist that says, you know, Josh, I became an artist to make a lot of money. It just doesn't exist. When you go to dealing with an artist where it's a business of passion to dealing with a gallery where it's a business of business, there's real huge differences in how those visits, I don't want to say are conducted, because ultimately it's the same formula for each visit, but the messaging that you'll get coming out of a studio visit with an artist versus a gallery visit with a gallerist can be quite different. You know, artists are very intimately connected to their pieces in a very different way. And it's not a hit against galleries. Galleries are obviously great, but a gallery is not able to necessarily duplicate that, which is part of actually why I started doing the studio visits and why we try to link QR codes to the studio visits in the galleries so that when someone does go to a gallery, they could basically end up in the artist's studio, which is kind of a neat thought process.
Yeah, I love that. And it's one of my favorite things we talk about a lot with artists. You know, when you participate, because we always get the question like, you know, if I live in this city, why should I participate in your art fair? Like, I'm not meeting any new people, which, by the way, that's totally false. You will definitely meet new people.
Totally false.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like, if let's say you live in Washington, D.C. and you do super fine art fair, right? Well, you are going to meet new people who live in your area. And if you live there, you have a distinct advantage over a traveling artist because you can then invite people and you could even set up a calendar for the next month and say, hey, I'm available Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 8 at my studio, and really turn those in-person visits that you get at an art fair or at a gallery, or however you are meeting your clients, and then turn them into a studio visit. So I think that's a really cool point to bring up, Josh. So what would you say is the etiquette that's specific for a studio visit? Like what really, like how do you treat one when you're working, when you're there with an artist? And also like how can artists learn from that? From the etiquette as a collector, how do artists use that to their advantage?
Absolutely. So when I do the studio visits, I always do it. So, you know, myself, I am a collector. I've got a, what I think is an impressive collection, but I have a collector's eye. I also have a business eye, and I understand that collectors buy for different reasons, right? Someone like myself with a background in finance, I'm not investing in art for investment. I invest in financial instruments for investment. I buy art because it evokes a response or because I just really like the piece and think it's really freaking cool. When it comes to the studio visits, I understand the lens that different buyers have. So while we're doing the studio visit, I am helping the artist to promote their work in the visit. So for example, I did a studio visit, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago with an artist. Her Instagram handle is Hannah M. Collage. And she mentioned, I was looking at her collages and I was like, how long does it take you to do this? And she said 500 hours for some of her pieces. These are the types of things that matter, not only to collectors, but even to untrained people that are looking to buy art. Art is very subjective. If you look at a price on the wall and don't know what's behind it, it's a little bit more difficult to make the leap to buy it. But once you know what's behind it, then it's a lot easier. And that's the start of the etiquette for these visits. We want to make sure that we're communicating the value of why your art is special and why it should essentially be wanted. But we're not going to ask questions, those questions. We're going to ask about the inspiration, the background, and things like that. So it's really a blend of what would a collector want to get out of this studio visit, but also what does the artist want to communicate? Again, the passion of the artist is so important to the art world and to the collector. You know, when a collector buys a piece, they're buying the artist's story. And the way you link those up is through a studio visit. So the studio visits, although there is a prep call, they are not rehearsed. It is a raw thing that is unedited in most cases.
I really like that, Josh. And I'll tell you a little anecdote about some studio visits I've done, which I think gels very much with how you're talking about it here. There's been times when I've gone to an artist studio and we don't talk about their art. We just hang out and we talk about their life and like what they've done and maybe the recent trip they took or like what's been inspiring them. And I think that's a really cool way to approach it. And the way that you're saying as well, where you're learning about their work and like what inspires them. And it's not this like cut and dry, like how much is that? How much is this? How much is that? Like, you know, what went into it? You know, it's more of a get to know you. And I think that has such value for artists, right? To think of it that way. Like someone coming in your studio is a way for them to get to know you as a person and ultimately decide, like, do I want to like invest in this human being, not like buy an asset from them? If I'm construing you right, I don't know if I got that.
No. You got it. You got it right 100%. And, you know, the key thing is, as an artist, when you create your work, you see the value. But the thing is, you need to be able to articulate that value. And that's what the studio visit does. So for example, if someone's at Superfine and you've got your artwork there, and by the way, shout out to your art fair for taking no commission. I mean, that is one thing that I love about your fair that not a lot of other fairs do. And I think it removes a lot of risk for the artist. So I am a huge fan of Superfine, not only because of the diversity of the artists that you guys bring together, but also because you are really supporting artists in multiple facets of their business, but also really helping them grow by not taking the commission. But anyhow, back to the question at hand, you know, when it comes to being at an art fair like Superfine, imagine this, right? Your art is on the wall. Well, if you're there to tell the story as the artist, that's fine. But people want to see the studio. So we add a QR code and boom, now they're going to see the studio. If you're not there, let's say you stepped away for lunch or you're showing as part of a gallery and you're not able to be there, well, now you're there as well. So the studio visit creates presence in your absence.
Presence in your absence. I like the way you put that. And thank you also for the kind words, Josh. I really appreciate it. It's very much what our model's been about since day one. We you know, no disrespect to the galleries that are out there doing a really good job promoting their artists, but we never wanted to be a gallery. We wanted to do something else. So thank you for recognizing that. So guys, let's move on to our second question. That was a really, really good analysis of studio visits and how to conduct them as an artist as well. Now, let's walk us through the process of how you get in contact with galleries, artists, art fairs to hold your interviews. Who do you choose and how do you schedule yourself?
Absolutely. So, you know, the primary way, honestly, I'm very fortunate because I've gotten to a point now where artists find me. So the website for me is artbosleyandbeyond.com. The Instagram handle is art.basel and beyond. And a lot of times the way this happens, I do a studio visit with an artist, their friends watch it who are also artists, and they reach out to me on Instagram. Now, before I was so fortunate to have that, I would essentially go around just asking basically artists whose work that I've purchased if they would be open to doing a studio visit. And that is literally how it started. So I mentioned Roderick Hidalgo earlier, and you had mentioned Gallery 23 in the introduction. So the Gallery 23 gallerist, Alex Smetsky, who has been a huge kind of like really kickstarted me in the art world. I just found him to be a really inspirational person. He was the first ever studio visit that I did. And I found him because I literally just stopped into Gallery 23 one day. And I liked his vibe. I thought that he was very genuine. And I was just like, hey, just going to throw this out there. Would you be open to a studio visit that I could put on my Instagram? And at that time, I had like very minimal followers, even though like this isn't about the followers. Like people buy followers. So you have to be careful with that. But like he was just like all about it. And then I just started asking other artists in his gallery. I asked Roderick. It was a piece that I was purchasing at an art fair that I wasn't, or at a gallery rather, that I wasn't 100% sure if I wanted, and the gallery wasn't really facilitating the relationship. So I just reached out directly to Roderick and was like, hey, can I come see your studio? By the way, I'm not suggesting circumventing the gallery. I'm just saying that it was like a passion and desire of mine to meet the man behind the piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's super cool. So obviously you've been to the fairs, you've gone to galleries, right? We all know Basel, and that's in the title of the podcast and the Instagram account, which I just followed you right now, Josh, and I encourage everyone listening to go ahead and do that as well and possibly end up on one of Josh's podcast episodes. Now, what are, besides Basel though, what are some other annual events you recommend that artists and collectors look out for?
Well, first of all, obviously super fun. I mean, you guys have a phenomenal, I almost said venue of artists, but basically list of artists. I mean, you guys have phenomenal, phenomenal artists at your fair. So there's a few things, right? You have to think about this from, there's fairs that artists go to, sorry, that collectors go to, and then there's fairs that passerbys go to, okay? You always want to go to a fair where there's at least both of those type of people there. Because if you're an artist and you go to a fair where there's no collectors, you're not going to sell. That's never good. If you go to a fair that's only collectors, then you're not going to be able to grow your brand as much as you would like to, because there's a lot of people that are not collectors that still connect people and help facilitate transactions. So there are a few really great fairs that if you're an artist that, you know, you're looking to sell your art at, that I would highly recommend. So obviously super fun. I think Art Market Hamptons, which is canceled this year, but will be back next year. Phenomenal. I think the Affordable Art Fair in New York is incredible. I've purchased many pieces from there. And by the way, affordable, you know, always goes in brackets, right? I think at the Affordable Art Fair, they put a cap on the most expensive piece, but it's like $25,000. So I don't know how affordable that is. So those are basically some fairs that I like that kind of occur more so in the Northeast. And then I love Art Miami. Art Miami, so although Art Basel is kind of like the inspiration for the account, Art Miami is my favorite fair during the Miami Art Week. And the reason why that is one, I like to be able to afford things. And Art Basel, it's hard to touch anything. I mean, some of the lowest cost pieces there are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Art Miami has super high quality work. I like a lot of pop art and things with bright colors and stuff, modern art, some contemporary art as well. And fairs like Art Miami capture that just so perfectly. So, you know, when I think about events, I always think of art fairs. I'm a huge art fair guy. It's how I find a lot of the artists whose work I buy. And, you know, you really can't go wrong with a fair like Superfine, Art Market Hamptons. And by the way, there's other art market fairs too as well. Art Miami, Spectrum is great. Red Dot, if you're really just getting started, Red Dot is super affordable. It's part of the Redwood Art Group fair family. And they have a great fair. You know, sometimes people kind of make fun of it, but I think it's a good fair, so I'd recommend it. I could go on for this forever, so I'm going to kick it back to you so I don't keep talking about art fairs.
No, this is great. And again, thank you once again for the kind words. I mean, we really do our best to curate the shows. And actually, Art Market, who you mentioned, is one of our main partners. They actually handle all the logistics for our fairs. So we work really closely with them. We hang out. We have drinks in the summertime and travel the world together. So I know those guys really well. Very, very cool company. And we love their shows. They also do Art on Paper in Manhattan every year. They do Art Market San Francisco. And they also own the Seattle Art Fair, which we are hosting our fair alongside this year in July. So if this episode comes out before July 26th, then you guys can all go check us out and the Seattle Art Fair as well. So thank you so much. In some interviews you've done, you've been talking about how you choose which artists you feature on your feed, and you point to genuinely enjoying the work, which makes a ton of sense. So as a collector yourself, how often do you collect from the artists you interview, and like, well, who makes the cut? Like, how do you decide that?
Absolutely. So, a lot of times the artists that I collect, well, one, if I ever buy a piece from an artist, I always want to interview them, and usually they are receptive to that. So they are automatically going to be doing studio visits. Who makes a cut is basically an artist that work I really like and that I'm interested in working with. One of the things that I love about the art world is people are really, I mean, there's obviously good and bad to everything that someone can be involved in, but for the most part, artists have been really phenomenal to work with. So as far as like who makes the cut, the work, it doesn't matter if it's work that is similar to an artist that I've already featured. That doesn't matter. Like artists are allowed to make similar work. Like you can't be unique all the time. It's just not possible because there's so much saturation. If this was like many hundreds of years ago, then maybe, but not in today's day and age. So a lot of times I look for a unique style, but you don't always get that because there's, like I said, there's just so much saturation. So I also look when I'm talking to artists, because I always do kind of like an intro call with them. I just try to get a sense of like if I think they could speak to their work. At least that's how I used to do it. But then I realized that if I could change the formula of the studio visit, I could enable any artist to speak about their work. I did a studio visit a little over a year ago with an artist who was really introverted. And they were like, I'm doing this as a challenge because I don't know how to talk about my work. And then I realized I had my original formula wrong because I was looking for artists that could talk about their work, but artists that think they can't talk about their work, they're great too. So the only thing is, and this might sound like really basic, but I wear all of my expressions on my face. I just literally have to like the work. And that is what it comes down to. Are there artists that reach out to me and friends that reach out to me that are like, hey, will you do this studio visit? I'm like, hey, sorry, I can't. And they're like, why? I just say to them, like, the art doesn't really fit within my portfolio. One more thing I'll bring up real quick. Artists that I do studio visits go into a portfolio that I do. So when people come to me, because people do come to me to acquire art, I include them in a portfolio that I show to people who are looking for different pieces. So it's very commercial for the artist.
Yeah, no, and I love that. I think, you know, whether it's directly commercial or not, having studio visits as an artist, meeting your collectors face to face is always going to have reciprocal benefits for you because they become your ambassadors. They talk to their friends. They tell their friends as they're looking for art. I mean, people come to me. I have no professional, ironically, for running the largest art fair for artists in the country, I have no professional financial incentive to selling art directly to anybody. But because people know that I'm affiliated with Superfine, I get asked all the time about art recommendations. So I frequently recommend artists who are in our fairs or artists who are in my network, who are friends of mine, simply because they're top of mind and they're the artists that I know and I know I can trust and I know that they're going to be professional and the work is going to be good. And so it's really to your benefit to forge these relationships with people like Josh, where, you know, they become ambassadors for you. Now, there's something I wanted to kind of underscore what you said, Josh, maybe even flip it around a little bit. So artists often get hung up on like who doesn't buy their art. They're like, oh my God, this major collector came to the fair and he didn't buy my art. Well, he couldn't because, or she couldn't, or whoever it is. Like if there's 45 or 80 or 100 booths in a fair, no one's buying, even if they have the money or the interest in art, they're not buying 80 things. It may not be their style. It may not fit with their collection. It may not be their style that day. It might not be what they need that moment in their home that they're currently putting together. It's not a bad thing. It just means there's some other collector out there that the work does resonate with, and it's totally okay. So like, you know, knowing that someone says no or doesn't demonstrate interest is just a way of saying, okay, it's time to move on and see who my collector is because this is not them. So I think that's a neat way for artists to look at it when you feel that feeling, which is inevitable that like somebody did not purchase your work. There's someone else out there who will. My two cents, my positive spin there. All right, guys. So we're going to actually be right back here in just a moment. And Josh is going to share more with you guys. First, we have a message from our sponsors.
Artists, are you struggling with getting yourself out there and selling your work? Well, you came to the right place. For 7 years, Superfine Art Fair has traveled across the United States and connected with all sorts of art professionals, from curators, gallerists, a community of successful artists, and everything in between. We've developed strategies to assist hundreds of artists just like you take control of their careers, build relationships with collectors, and create the art income and freedom that they deserve. From New York City to San Francisco, Miami Beach to Seattle, your next art fair is right around the corner. You can apply to be a part of the fair when it comes to a city near you by visiting www.superfine.world/sell-your-art. Mention the Artist Business Plan during your qualification call and we'll take $150 off your booth fee for any city and any fair you choose. Today's the day to start taking control of your art career.
All right, we are back here with Josh Casper. And Josh, on the Artist Business Plan, we find that our artist guests are often really transparent about their lives, their successes, their failures in person, on social media. That's something a lot of artists do. How do you get such in-depth conversations when you're conducting your interviews? And what can artists and collectors learn from that level of transparency?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's all about the essence of the art and the artists themselves. So it's all about being fully transparent. I'll talk to the artist beforehand and I'll ask them, you know, what's off limits? What do you want to discuss? You know, what can be discussed? And we'll go through different items or themes, as I like to call them. I don't like to give specific questions all the time. And that's really how we kind of get to the heart of it. We want to make sure that we are hitting all aspects of the art and as much of the artist's lives as they're willing to share. So it's real simple. It's inspiration behind the artwork. It's background, what made you to become an artist, and then everything about around that. Because there's obviously a lot more to someone's background than just what made them become an artist. There's obviously a lot more to their paintings than just inspiration. But it's those things that kind of get things started. Does that answer the question? I don't know if I'm hitting that properly.
No, I think you are. And I think it's all about, like, just, you know, again, being upfront, talking about yourself and being willing to do that. But I think you're getting it, Josh. So yeah, go deeper. Tell us more. Like what, you know, what is it that an artist gains from being really transparent with their collectors and telling them about not only like why they made this work or, but like their story and their life?
You know, the way that we go about getting to that point is when I do the studio visit, I just work really hard to create a comfortable environment and to flow the conversation. You know, a lot of people, when you go into, let's say, a job interview, it's very mechanical. It's, am I saying the right thing? Is this what they want to hear? And I just make it really clear that there's no right or wrong answer. Like, we're doing this studio visit together and we're going to flow this conversation however it goes. And to that end, like, I don't really have an agenda for it. I've got themes, I've got a formula, but like, I don't even start. I used to start the studio visits by saying, let's talk about your background. I started with the art now. Now it's all about the art. And it's, we'll start off and we'll say, look, before we talk about your background, let's show the audience a piece of your artwork so they can understand the quality of what you're creating. And that just kind of goes back to me having to genuinely like their work, because I can't make that statement if I don't like it.
Yeah, I love that. Like, starting with the art first and then going deeper into the background is obviously a great way of showcasing what the artist can do. And it works really well, especially with your medium, which is really neat. And if I'm correct, you do like video, right, of it as well?
Yes, it's all video. All the studio visits are done via video. So it's Instagram Live. You have to do everything through Instagram Live.
Cool. Well, awesome. So Josh, this has been a great conversation and it's been hopefully very helpful for our business artists. We're just running to the end here. So let's bring it home for our listeners. Where can artists, art collectors, and art enthusiasts go to hear the stories that you've collected on Art Basel and beyond? And how might they be able to participate?
So the good thing is I do everything through Instagram. I do have a website. It's artbaselandbeyond.com. But everything goes through Instagram. And if an artist wants to participate, all they need to do, they can either go on the website and send me a message, or even better, just direct message me on Instagram. I look at my DMs religiously because I'm dealing with so many different artists that it's the only way to kind of track things. But if they want to watch the studio visits, go to the Instagram feed. That's where it is. The only thing that I'd say is not all the studio visits are obvious. Sometimes there's cover photos over them. So whenever you see a reel, click on it. For the studio visits, usually you'll see half my face and half the artist's face. And that's a great way to know. So, you know, participating, I want to hear from all artists. So definitely don't be shy. And then as far as watching the studio visits go, check out the feed, art.baselandbeyond, and you'll be able to see all the studio visits. I've probably done over 100 of them over the past couple of years.
Josh, I love that. Artist, did you catch everything that Josh said? If you didn't, that's perfectly okay. You can find this episode of the Artist Business Plan on our website at www.superfine.world in the archive, or wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can scroll back, find this episode. Be sure to follow Josh on Instagram at art.basel and beyond, and look out for some familiar faces. Remember to check us out on Instagram too, at Superfine Art Fair. Anytime you're listening to and benefiting from the Artist Business Plan, we appreciate it if you give us a share. We'll always share that back as well and tag you. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well whenever you have the chance. That is our number one listening platform. Thousands of you tune in via Apple Podcasts every month, and it helps other artist entrepreneurs just like you find Superfine and the Artist Business Plan. As always, I want to wrap up the class by sharing a quick quote with you all. And that quote is, "People generally are more interested in my work when they get to know me. Serious collectors like to get not just a painting, but a piece of the artist that is Tony only." Josh, thank you so much for joining us here on the Artist Business Plan. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you, Alex. Take care.
Pleasure is all mine. Everybody else, have an awesome rest of your day. Remember to stay on top of your Artist Business Plan. Get out there and make it happen.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Artist Business Plan.
Hosted by me, Alex Mito.
And me, James Milley.
Join us each week to hear leaders in the art, marketing, and business arenas discuss tips and tricks designed to help you thrive and sell more art.
To listen to this episode and all of our past episodes, just visit www.superfine.world and click the Artist Business Plan.
And we love to hear what you have to say, so just follow us on Instagram at superfineartfair and shoot us a message just to let us know you're listening.
Want to exhibit at an upcoming fair? Go to www.superfine.world/sell-your-art. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep up your artist business plan.